the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11 and the 12th verse. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Chapter 11, the Book of Deuteronomy, and the 12th verse. This is a word in which a deep couches beneath it. It stands in connection with the concluding chapter in Israel's wanderings in the wilderness for 40 years long. Moses, the man of God, at the end of his wonderful leadership of Israel, is about to lay down the reins and enter into the rest that remaineth for the people of God. But in this book of Deuteronomy, which is well worth reading through and through, there is much that fits in with the gospel of the grace of God in it. And Moses at this time was addressing Israel's host. I often think about that, because Israel's host was over 2 million odd, and they must have made a mighty assembly, and Moses, the man of God, must have had divine aid to be able to say all that is said in the book of Deuteronomy, and all Israel to hear it. The Lord is at no loss to convey the truth that he desires his people to hear and understand. It is well to keep that thought uppermost. I will work, and who shall let it? And now Moses, as Israel's leader, had often been hard put to it to endure in his leadership of Israel, because they were oft times so ill behaved. But I have told you many times that Israel as a nation were a typical people of all sinners born again down through the ages, making up the Israel of God. And you know, I often quote one scripture: whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort in the scriptures might have hope. And now Moses, in his address to the children of Israel, not only goes back over the way they had come along, but he gives them good counsel for when they should cross over Jordan to dwell at length in the land of promise. And in the chapter before us, he gives a little outline of the characteristics of the land of promise. And I want us, the Lord, to help me to look at the subject from three or four viewpoints of it. As I said, there is a deep which coucheth beneath. And the land of promise, in this viewpoint of the subject, sets forth the Church of Christ on earth. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God were always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And you find a great word in Isaiah where the Church of Christ is regarded as land, where he who is the church's living head declares, I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will watch it night and day. And now in the context, Moses points out a great contrast between the land of Egypt and its nature and the land of promise to which the children of Israel were about to enter. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and wateredst it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. You do not need the preacher to tell you that the land of Egypt was very unique, and it had to depend on the Nile overflowing its banks that the land might be watered ere the seed could be sown. And it was irrigated by canals that ran hither and thither, and then yet smaller canals from the first canals which were made, so that the land might be irrigated and the water turned this way and that as was desired. And now Moses makes this great contrast. The land to which you're about to enter and live in before God as Israel's God is a land which the Lord thy God careth for. Margin reading, seeketh for. The land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, not a flat land like the land of Egypt was, a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Everything hinges on this, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And now I want us, the Lord, to help me to work that out from some viewpoints of it. And first of all, it might be helpful to say just a little, although not so long ago I did say something from another subject on the eyes of the Lord, which some of you who heard it will remember, some of you did not hear it. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. And here is a thought that you can ponder prayerfully in your heart. If this land, land of promise as it is, sets forth the Church of Christ as it does, how little is this truth realized so that those who dwell in the land get the benefit of it? The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. You remember in the seven churches in the book of Revelation, where the epistle was sent to the angel of the church, it was said to the church, I know thy works, said to each one. And in two instances the churches were commended, and in five instances the churches were corrected. Do you think if an epistle was sent to the angel of the church at Bethesda, it would have commendation in it? for the church to thank God and take courage? Or would it be more likely that pastor and people too would receive correction? Let your consciences tell you how you feel it would be as between God and you. This is a great truth, dear friends. Thou God seest me. I wish it could be more on our minds as a corrective for our behavior. There might be many things which are said, many things which are done, and some places where you have found him where you would not be if you realize, thou God seest me, what I am, where I am. Preacher and people alike need more grace to weigh these things up, and by that same grace, yet more grace to reduce them to practice. And now the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Every church, everywhere. The church's living head knows the true state of that church and does not judge it by numerical prosperity. Additions of names on the church roll are not necessarily prosperity, although it is wonderfully good to see it when the Lord adds unto the church such as shall be saved. What constitutes prosperity in a church? The name of the city shall be called Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. The presence of God constitutes prosperity. In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I am secure. In thy presence all affliction I can easily endure. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. And that means the eyes of his knowledge. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. His eyes running to and fro throughout the whole earth, light on every sinner born again. And every day that means, do believe this, every day that means the eyes of the Lord look on more and more, as more and more are added unto the church. Every day the Spirit of God is at work, adding unto the church. Sinners are being born again, and multitudes are being gathered into heaven, and the eyes of the Lord are upon them, that the good work begun, carried on so long, shall be brought to a God glorifying finish, and they receive an abundant entrance into the heavenly kingdom. And meanwhile, as fast as sheep to Jesus go, let lambs recruit the fold below. The eyes of the Lord are upon the church of Christ like that. The eyes of the Lord thy God, the eyes of his knowledge. When Solomon's temple was dedicated and the blessing of God consecrated it, then God said to Solomon, my eyes and my heart mark thee two joined together by God. Mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually, forever and ever. So that when the eyes of the Lord view the church at any time, anywhere, his heart, overflowing with love, regards that church in accordance with what his purposes may be to do therein. He may look upon a church, and if it should need to be corrected, he will bestow the correction in love. And I sometimes have a thought that there will be quite a deal of the eyes of the Lord looking on churches like that, ere there shall be what we long to see, a gracious reviving in our midst. The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Oh, dear friends, if you and I could have more of that grace whereby we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged of the Lord. Because if you had grace to judge yourself, you would sit in judgment on yourself. And godly fear would show you wherein you go astray and do that which is amiss, and you would seek yet more grace to live more in accordance with what you profess to be. I do hope you will think these things over, because they are of supreme importance. It should be a thought that causes us to rejoice in the Lord that the eyes of the Lord are upon us as a church. And yet it might be that for some of you, it is not a matter for rejoicing, but trembling, as your conscience shows you wherein you have erred and strayed like a lost sheep. And how will it be that the good shepherd will appear on your behalf and bring you back to where you ought to be? Do suffer the word of exhortation. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. The eyes of his knowledge. He knows the exact truth about us. And that has got comfort in it, as well as that which causes us searching of heart. It has got comfort in it because the Lord, with his eyes beholding you as you are, knows what you desire to be as well as what you are. And he knows that you desire, many of you, to be real Christians, and that your religion shall produce corresponding fruit, and you so live that men may take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus. I, the Lord, search the heart. The eyes of the Lord, the eyes of his knowledge. And it means the eyes of his mercy, the eyes of his love. Go back to what I said, mine eyes and mine heart. You can often use your eyes, but it does not affect your heart. But when your heart looks out through your eyes, then love is at work, seeking to reduce to practice some evidence of it. The eyes of the Lord are always upon the Church of Christ like that, to evidence that God is love. Not always is it understood. Whom the Lord Jehovah loves, he in various ways reproves. 'Tis his settled wise decree that his sons chastised shall be. It means to the eyes of his approval. There is a great scripture. I do wonder how much any of us know about it, either pastor or people. The Lord taketh pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. If in your soul, in your experience, there is liveliness, nearness to God, the Lord takes pleasure in it. The Lord taketh pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And all the dealings of God with us, when understood aright, are that our souls shall be in good health, and that you and I shall know spiritual prosperity. Very desirable it is. Much might be said along that line of thought. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. It means that the Lord is ever giving the Church of Christ, where'er it is, north, south, east, west, worldwide, his attention. And that seems a very simple statement. His attention. He discerns the exact truth of what is happening in the church. And if there is that which is not of God, he counteracts it. He overturns it. He undoes what hell sets afoot. But he fulfills his own declaration. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I would look at the subject from another viewpoint. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. Have you ever sat down before God at any time in reading the Word of God and pondered in your heart how wonderful it is that he should have looked round the world which he created, and that he should raise up Israel as a nation, call Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob, and ultimately Israel as a nation was born, and that he should look upon the land of promise where it is, almost in the center of the earth, and declare it to be his own land. There is a lovely scripture which says the Lord's land. There is much happening in the land of promise nowadays that is not good reading, but it is still the Lord's land. And whilst there are those who are enemies to God and godliness doing what they purpose, a day is not so far off when the Lord will look again on the land of promise and bring to pass his purposes in their fulfillment. Yes. The Lord will put his hand a second time to his work, the Word of God says. I might turn aside a moment and say, you get that sometimes in the dealings of God with you. You may go back to your early days when you believe God began to deal with you and you began to deal with God. And for a while things seem to prosper and go well with your soul. But, like Israel of old, as the years roll on, you have evidenced what you are by nature. You have not behaved well toward God. You have turned aside from what you have professed to be, in this way and that. And like Peter of old, followed afar off. But the eye of the Lord is upon you where you are, and he knows what you are in your backsliding state. And then comes that word in the fulfillment of it. The Lord will put his hand a second time to the work. And when he does, then you are like Peter when he came out of Satan's sieve and went out and wept bitterly. You are reconverted and brought back before God with whom you have to do, and your religion is made lively in things divine. It is a great experience when it may be for weeks and months, not to say years, you have been living in a desert land in your soul's experience, even at the ends of the earth. And then the Lord appears for you and brings you back. It is a great experience. Yes. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The margin is seek it. The Lord, all the while, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year, is seeking the good of the Church of Christ. And whatever is done against the Church of Christ anywhere in any land, the Lord will recompense it. There is a wonderful word in Isaiah, which I will read to you. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. If a nation does not serve the Church of Christ, sooner or later, it will perish. Even England as a nation, if the things of God are put farther and farther in the background, and the Church of Christ is no longer regarded like it has been for many a long year in our national history, then England as a nation will perish. The Church of Christ is very dear in the eyes of the Lord, whose church it is. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. And now, to look at the subject from another viewpoint, as I said, the Church of Christ is said to be a land. And there is also a scripture which says, ye are God's husbandry. And the first thought to keep in mind is that the Church of Christ is a land which the Lord owns. It is his freehold. There is no mortgage on it. It is the Lord's land, as I said. And it will abide for time and eternity too. And this land was set aside to be the Lord's land before it was created. Before you read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I know it is difficult to follow this along, but you must try to do it, because it is sound doctrine. And in the covenant of grace it was ordained where the Lord's land should be for Israel as a nation to dwell in, and that it should be a picture, a setting forth of the Church of Christ as the Lord's land. And I might say, regarding the Church of Christ as land, the subject is quite instructive and interesting. It was fenced around in the covenant of grace, fenced around by almighty power, that the land might be secure for time and eternity too. Fenced around by everlasting love. For all who live in that land are loved with everlasting love. A very wonderful consideration, that is. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So it is a land protected. They that dwell therein, in every state secure, kept as Jehovah's eye, 'tis well with them while life endure, and well when called to die. The Lord's land, fenced around, and none can break through that fence to interfere with the purposes of God concerning the Church of Christ. The devil has been assailing, seeking an ingress somewhere in the fence ever since he was hurled out of heaven. But he has never gained an inch of ground, and he never will. In this was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And then this land is the Lord's land, because he alone, as he owns it, he alone cares for it. I was going to say, and I will, he alone cultivates it. So that whatever there is in the Lord's land that is good, it is of God that it should be where it is and what it is. Remember that. Nothing to do with the great eye ever grows in the Lord's land. No flesh should glory in his presence. It is the Lord's land. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it, the psalmist says, using another illustration. Ye are God's building. And that is a truth you must ever keep in mind, you dear young people especially, whenever you do any studying to find out this and that in the Word of God. You must remember, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And what the Spirit of God leads you into will abide with you as long as you live and when you die. Yea, it will abide for time and eternity too. But you must start there. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. And what he reveals will do you good. You will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. And so, he alone cultivates it. He uses his servants, whom he raises up from age to age, to go forth preaching the gospel, instructing the people in righteousness. But even there, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You will never have in this pulpit a preacher more in earnest that you shall get good for your souls than the one who has so long tried to preach to you. But even with all my heart overflowing with earnestness that you should get good, you do not often get it. And who is to blame for that? If anything is to be said about blame, that thou givest them, they gather. Meanwhile, at times the preacher says, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I have labored in vain and spent my strength for naught. It might be there is an answer, and it might be instructive to turn aside a moment or two and look at it. I'll read the text again, and what follows? A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. I wonder if that touches a chord in any of your souls. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And then, in keeping his commandments, there is great reward. And so, I'm very much afraid, if you do not always get the good you would like to, that it will remain between you and God to get it cleared up. And you must remember this, the soul of the diligent should be made fat. When prayer is a burden and task, no wonder I little receive. O Lord, make me willing to ask, since thou art so ready to give. And I am sure of this, dear friends, although it is very difficult to put it into words that shall be received aright, I am sure that if you aim in your life to live inside the covers of the Word of God, that you will live near to God. It is not anything that is legal to say that, although it might sound like it. When all is said and done, what did Joseph Hart say? And you do sing it. At least it is singable, it is in the hymn book. Behold the gospel plan. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do what good you can. And if you are helped to live like that, you will find happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Let your own soul's experience tell you, dear friends. Go back over life's journey and search out the happiest moments you have known on the earth. It is when things have been right between your soul and God, and you were being remembered with the favor that he bears unto his people. There you see the bedrock truth. If ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day. If you are helped to do that, you will find the land fruitful. The church of Christ to which you belong will be prospering. And when all is said and done, everyone in the church, everyone who loves the truth outside it, but everyone in the church should be concerned to have matters right between their souls and God and live in the light of it. Yes. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. And this land is set apart for God. The land of promise. And the promise does not reach any land outside. You might think that over. The Lord is good to all in his providence. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth in his providence. But then it says to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That they shall find, bread shall be given, water shall be sure. Yes. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. It is the church of Christ in which God has his supreme interest. And there is a scripture which is very terrifying to contemplate. The Lord hath prepared all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. The Lord bears long with the wicked, and sometimes it may be you look on and wonder how it is the Lord does bear so long with the wicked and they still do wickedly. But just to help you, dear young people, there is a word here I will read to you. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And now, how shall I illustrate that to help you to understand it? Ahaz, Judah's king, was a godless wretch, but he reigned long enough to have Ezekiah as his son, who was one of the best kings that ever reigned on Judah's throne. And the long-suffering of God lengthened out the life of Ahaz till that son was given, and afterwards. And that is how God deals with the wicked. some of the most wicked folks have had some of the most godly children, and vice versa too. Yes. But the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. And though the wicked do wickedly, they shall find at length, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And it will also be a blessed reality, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Yes. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. It is a good land to live in, the Church of Christ on earth, to have some evidence God has enrolled your name on the church roll of it. And now, the next viewpoint is this. The land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. What does that teach us? Have you found your life as you have journeyed along it, especially you grey heads, the Lord bless you, have you found your life as you have journeyed along to be like the land of Egypt, all flat? You were found in the dealings of God with you, hills and valleys. You have had losses and crosses, disappointments, difficulties, sinkings in your souls. You have gone down in the valley of humiliation. You have often been brought low. You have found every day new straits attend. Yes. And you have found also, I trust, what you read in Isaiah, in the dealings of God with you. Every valley should be exalted, and every mountain and hill should be made low, and the crooked should be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord should be revealed, and all flesh should see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Where you have set up your waymarks, your high heaps along life's way, when you ponder in your heart where you were in the dealings of God with you, when you were helped to do it, it was either a hill or else it was a valley. It was where the hand of God was upon you for good. It was where you proved the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. It is just to tell us, the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. It simply means this: in New Testament times, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And now, if you ever see a land that is all flat, you can think of Romney Marshes, nearest to us, and there are some counties which are very flat, but you do not go there for scenery. It may have a beauty of its own, but there is a sameness in it. But where you get hills and valleys, you get scenery, good for the eye to look on. And so it is, trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring us to Christ's feet and lay us low and keep us there. And in your soul's experience, you get things that stand out in the dealings of God with you. There is not a sameness in it. No. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Aye. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And when a new year begins, as it will if all is well, in the week to come, this will still be a great truth, only then you will think of it as the beginning of the year. This Sabbath morn, we would think of it as the end of the year. And the Church of Christ is a land which the Lord thy God careth for. And now, in coming toward the Amen, let us just look at this care. The land which the Lord thy God careth for. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a wonderful consideration it is if you and I have got some sure evidence that God cares for us. Do you possess it? Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Think of it. It is a word used to help us in our understanding of God with whom we have to do. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And you have had abundant evidence of it, some of you. And now, this land which the Lord thy God careth for, the Church of Christ, and you inside it by the grace of God, this care that he exercises is fatherly care. I like that word of the Saviour to his disciples. The Father himself loveth you. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of. His eyes are upon you to exercise his care concerning you. Yes. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The sweet, blessed experience. The words are used too often just as words. But when out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, you will add the understanding of what it means. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name in my life as I live it. Hallowed be my lips. Hallowed be my life. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallowed be thy name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. This care which God exercises is what we may call covenant care. And that will help you understand it. Ordered in all things and sure. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And you will see, if you mark the steps you have trodden in life's journey hitherto, in heaven's own light, you will see that it is the care of God has helped you to come along step by step to be what you are and where you are this Sabbath morning. He careth for you. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. It is continual care. It is faithful care. Oh, you know, in our everyday life, we try to care for each other. But we get very weary, although it is in well-doing, in caring for one another. Because we have got our limitations. God has got no limitations. Great God, how infinite art thou? What worthless worms are we? Yes. And we may say, his care is infinite. He does not weary in well-doing for the Church of Christ, but he is ever given out. And then, this care which he exercises to the Church of Christ, a land which the Lord thy God careth for, is such sympathetic care. And you know, sometimes you can exercise care and there not be much sympathy in it. sometimes it is a kind of professional care. But let a mother care for a sick child, a little babe, and you will see sympathetic care. But sometimes the people who are being cared for are not so well behaved as they ought to be, and then those who care for them, they're not quite so ready to be so sympathetic. And now God is not like that. In all our afflictions, he was afflicted. And he is the wise physician. He understandeth all disorders of the soul. He delighteth in mercy. His heart overflows with sympathy. He is a savior of quick understanding. His care is ever gracious, ever wise. Like Elihu said to Job, he that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Perfect care. Everything done to fit you at length when life's journey closes to dwell forever with the Lord. It is a great thing to live in the land of promise, live in the church of Christ as one whom God has placed therein. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Amen.